Hello, friends, and welcome to The Point, the home services podcast that focuses on marketing and operational solutions to help you get better. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Now, let's cut through the bullshit and get to the point.
What is going on right now? I don't know if we're in the apocalypse. I keep hearing friends talk about maybe the purge. Whatever's going on, like, this is crazy, crazy times, and one that we've never seen before. It's interesting. And so this is going to be a unique podcast. Thankfully, we've got a really, really good guest on today who is actually a real leader in the HVAC space and really been at the front lines of trying to help the industry as much as he possibly can during this crazy time. So first, I want to introduce myself. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, my name is Chris Yano. I'm also the CEO of a home services digital marketing company named Rhino Strategic Solutions, R-Y to the end of the O. And I have my co-host on here who is remote as well, Mr. Tall Paul. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good to see you, Chris. I'm always remote, so this is not new to me. But what is new to me is, you know, at Rhino, we talk about being where your feet are and being present. Well, my feet are currently in my master bedroom on a makeshift table, trying to get as much light in as I can while my four kids are on the other side of the wall doing their best to obey the stop that is recording sign on the wall. So, man, things are different, but we are all in, and I couldn't be more excited for the timeliness of our guests today. So why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, and then we'll get rolling.
Well, hang on one second before we get there, because you mentioned it. And I think after you're talking to our guest, Bart, kind of in the same situation because he's got twin boys, I have my son's Nintendo DS headset on today. And yesterday, whenever I asked him if I could borrow it, he was good with it. Well, we decided today to come into my office since nobody's in the office working. And turns out he's not so pleased. He's not so pleased that I'm borrowing his headset for three podcasts today. So we've had a little bit of a back and forth, but it's actually working pretty good. You guys can hear me okay, so that's great. Right. So I want to go ahead and get into it so we can make the most of our time with our guest. I want to introduce him. He's the president and CEO, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Of ACCA, Air Conditioning Contractors of America. I've been involved with it since the beginning. So I remember going to my first meeting way back in the day, which seems weird to say because I'm only 40. But I've been in this game for 12 years. So I remember going to my first meeting back 12 years ago. But he's now you're originally Bart, you're originally from, actually, let me do the quick introduction. We have Bart James on the podcast today. Bart, welcome.
Thank you.
Also in quarantine, quarantine-ish.
Exactly.
Now you're originally from, if I read this right, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Is that right?
You got it. Spot on.
So you're a Midwest boy.
Kind of.
Ish.
Southern, I would.
Southern-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Midwesterner. I'm from Indiana, and I start to look at anything around the Dakotas and all that stuff. Well, I don't care if you're in the north or the south. You're kind of in that middle part, so I look at it as Midwest.
That's a stretch, Chris.
Some people will say if you're not in California, you're Midwest.
Yeah, right.
But we're grateful to have you on today. I know that it's, you know, with the big conference, like, you know, things have just been changing and shifting, and my goodness, where we were last week is not where we are this week, so things are changing frequently, and I think now more than ever I've seen our industry as a whole really coming together to support each other. It's been amazing, the people that have reached out to us. It's been not just customers of ours, part of the Rhino family, different partners, even our competitors. Like, I have a webinar tomorrow with one of our competitors in the industry to come together to help serve people who are trying to say, what the hell am I supposed to do right now? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I can't, you know, appointments are canceling. So in the silver lining there is we're really seeing America come together and kick some ass right now. in many different ways. I mean, Ford and GM are now doing, you know, creating respirators and things like people are doing. The cruise ships are now becoming these, you know, operational ships for for health, like it's for the different floating hospitals. I forget what the name of it is, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's just cool to see all these things coming together, and that's just how America gets it done. So, Paul, I'm going to go ahead and let you jump in here because you've been having a lot of discussions with Bart. And again, man, we were super bummed because we're going to come and be a part of the ACA deal maybe this year as a podcast and get more involved. And it's like everything happens for a reason. I don't necessarily understand completely what that reason is right now other than to make us all better and stronger and learn from this and become tighter as a country, because I think we've taken a lot of things away that we should be putting back in. So, Paul, we'll toss it over to you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think everyone was impacted by this to some degree over the last 10 days where, you know, more information was coming out. And as you're kind of gauging risk, you're like, hey, our event's still on, our event's off or whatever. And I know I saw a message from Bart that said, hey, we're still good. We're on the front lines of this stuff every single day. We're still good. And then Act 2020 was canceled. So I thought this would be a good opportunity.
Well, I lost Paul's audio. So what I'll do is just go. I think what he was wanting to know is because the ACA event got canceled. Ken Bart, can you still hear me good to go?
I can. You're great coming in here.
Okay, great.
Back.
Nick, Paul, you're kind of choppy, so I'll go ahead and knock it out for you. I know what Paul's getting at is we wanted to talk about, because you guys had a great show set up and ready to roll. And the one that we were excited about it is, what was the main theme for the ACA for ACA 2020 this year? Can you like talk us through that and kind of the preparation things that you were going to roll out to everybody?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Paul, Chris, thank y'all for having me. Thanks for the hospitality. I'll give a little more background probably as we're talking, but yeah, we, you know, just 2 weeks ago, we were going to be in, I mean, it seems like forever, dog years for sure that we're all living. And, you know, first of all, my, you know, heart goes out to, you know, our country, other countries, but our members in the trades. I mean, ACCA's members are, you know, are the heating and air conditioning contractors. They're the electrical, they're the plumbing. So our folks are on the front lines and their employees trying to navigate their way through all this. And for us, it became a little more real 2 weeks ago where the city of St. Louis shut down any event over 1,000 people. So that, you know, it, we already saw some of that happening as kind of corporate America was doing their precautions. So we'd gotten word from some of our friends that we refer to as our partners in excellence that they, you know, weren't going to be able to be there in person, which we were bummed over. But, you know, our conference is truly about the educational side of it. And you know, this year, our 2020 conference, which was going to be in St. Louis at the Union Station, and we're going to be back. We're working with them right now. We wanted to make that investment in St. Louis. We're navigating our way through all that, but we're going to be back in 2022. So we're excited back at the same venue. You know, we're already, you know, we were committed, our conferences. So ACCA has been around since 1928. This is the first time in our history that we've ever canceled a conference. Yeah, you see it happening now with our, you know, our country and even other countries as they're navigating their way through things like the Olympics, which were shut down during the war and all, but and we have this long history of being there and working for our members. But this year's conference, you know, we had a great lineup, one that I was really proud of, but it was workforce. It was leadership. It was operations and finance, kind of the core of what we work with our members on. And who ACCA's members are, for those that may be listening that aren't familiar with us and our history, is, you know, we're oftentimes known for our technical work and expertise that we've assembled. If you're doing a load calculation on a home or a commercial operation, you've got your manual J's and those things that oftentimes go over my head as the guy that, you know, gets to work with a bunch of smart people and for a lot of smart members. And I'm actually talking about working remotely. I'm here from my father-in-law's house in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm sitting in their house where my twin boys are upstairs from a break. But I came here, our headquarters is just outside of DC, just down from the Pentagon. And I was looking for family help through this, thinking that this was going to be shorter term and our spring break was coming up. And my mother and father-in-law would be handing off the kids to us in Tennessee when we're going to meet up and go fly fishing. But instead they're here, and I'm thankful for it as our little bubble that we live in DC is changing. But that conference was, you know, it's special to us, all those years that we've worked to do this, but we had a special lineup and workforce, you know, again, now we have whole new challenges for our members as they're dealing with workforce. But just a few weeks ago, I mean, my incoming board chairman, which we haven't had that official handover yet, but Lanny was emailing on our forum this morning talking about, you know, how our world was turned upside down. And, you know, just a month ago, he's scrambling trying to find workers to meet the demand. And now he's dealing with, you know, workforce in a whole new way. So we had an exciting lineup. We're excited about being back there in 2022 to hit on these. And hopefully these are the same issues we're back at, as, you know, America's very resilient. So no doubt we will be. And we're already seeing that from our members. And we can talk more about that here in a second. But that was the kind of the core focus that we had. We had a really big focus on veterans. My wife works for Caterpillar, and one of the guys that she uses is he's a family friend. He's actually here from Shreveport, Louisiana, but Jacob Schick was going to be our closing speaker. We were inviting everyone in that was a veteran or worked for, you know, that was on the team of one of the companies to come from the area, to come in as our free guest to come to the conference and to be there, to see this industry in all of its glory and the opportunities it has. And I was really excited about the whole event, but especially the close and us, because so many of our members are veterans, or really have a focus on employing those. And I think there's so many more opportunities for our industry to do more in that space. So that's, I'm bummed in lots of ways. I'm bummed because for us, our conference is not a moneymaker for us. This is something that we invest in. It's actually a loss leader for us. It's truly there for our members. And, you know, when a city pulls the plug on you and you're like, I just, you know, I think we're just shy. I think $967,000 that we had, that walked away from us. And then you think of how little that is in comparison to what's going on around our country. And, you know, it makes you realize that, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot bigger decisions happening right now. So, and I look forward to talking more about that. I'm actually working with the White House on some of that stuff you're talking about.
I was just going to go down that path too. Sorry to jump in, Paul, because I think it is important to understand just how much on the front lines you have been fighting for the industry. And I think this is a good segue to talk about that, because it's important, I think, for our listeners to understand just the fight that's going on and like how ACCA is leading that charge, and really hallelujah that we're in essential business. Like, we're in essential business stuff, like, because I think we all agree we're essential business, like, to that, you know, the health and safety of everybody, the homeowners, of business. So, but if you would, since you just brought that up, Bart, share that with you. So kind of give some context to maybe those who don't know, because they've been out grinding, you know, trying to make sure everything is okay, that maybe I haven't followed suit on that. So maybe if you just talk about what that is and what you guys have accomplished, that'd be great.
Absolutely. And I'll give a little more flavor on myself too.
Cool.
You know, I was serving in President Bush's administration, George W., as a political appointee during 9/11. I worked at USDA at the time, and I was there when all that happened. And, you know, my boss, the undersecretary at the time, you know, I thought that was pretty complicated and navigating our way through that. But, you know, God, I feel for the people on both sides of the aisle that are trying to make the best of this and come up with answers that we obviously don't know. So, keep those folks in your thoughts and prayers, because this is going to be, before you air this, this is still going to be going on. And then how we plan for, you know, what our new future looks like, so we are, you know, prepared and able to weather these storms. But this is so different. So, I thought those times were tough then, as our world changed before our eyes. And now we have this slow roll of change happening. But that fighting, that's something we do. You know, I mentioned that we're headquartered. We are the one headquartered in Washington, D.C., and AFSCME, despite that not being what a lot of people think of. We have four members of our team, me being one of them, that are registered lobbyists. Three of the four of us came from Capitol Hill, have worked for members of Congress. You know, I've served in administration a couple of different places, one that's now very relevant. It's just Small Business Administration. I've got a call Thursday with the new administrator there to talk about, you know, it's – things are complicated, and seeing our members already being forced to make very tough decisions, making sure that she's aware of that. I'm serving on a task force through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is normally focused on kind of those big businesses, but it also helps out, and one of my former political appointees actually heads up their small business operations, Tom Sullivan, which is an awesome job and really gets it that, you know, small businesses don't get the recognition they should, but they are the backbone of our country. And our members want that essential service, that fight, that didn't happen on its own.
Right.
That's because people were there from the beginning before this stuff started shutting down. We were already working on that even before our conference got canceled. We were working to make sure that we had that recognition. We're already on that road in other ways because HVAC is forgotten. Everything, our whole country depends on it. I mean, we've got food shortages, toilet paper shortages right now, but when you don't have any place to keep stuff cold, and especially as we're dealing with hospitals and all, that becomes a whole nother level of real. And our members, hopefully they see themselves as that way every day, and certainly when all this is done, but we're having to remind people of that right now, especially, and it's a state-by-state, local municipality. It started with the federal to get them to recognize that, and thankfully now they're using some of those standards. But we had, you know, it's still rolling, but as of yesterday, we had over 21,000 letters that we've sent in the past week and a half from our members weighing in on this to make sure their elected officials knew this. And they're also doing phone calls and, you know, reaching out and having meetings where we can, as much as you call these meetings that we're doing remotely. But, it's a fight every day, tooth and nail. And, you know, I know our members aren't sleeping, whether you're a member or not. I know you're not sleeping because you're worried about your team and your business. We're not sleeping either. We're right there with you on that fight, and we're mindful that we gotta keep at it. We gotta be relevant. We've got everyone in on essential services. If you go to our website, and we just rolled out a new interactive map that's up right now, so you can go and see the latest and greatest from your state, and then it even dives into some of the municipalities that are doing, you know, some crazy stuff out there. But we're good on the repair side. Where we're struggling is on the new construction. I mentioned my father-in-law is one of our members, and you know, he's in both spaces. He does some government work and he does residential, and you know, here in Shreveport, Louisiana, and kind of Texas and Arkansas, where he operates most of the time, you know, life's still kind of going on, but in other parts of the world, it's a very different atmosphere in terms of what they're facing. I just talked to my wife earlier this morning, and she's still back there in DC, and you know, she's at home. They put locks on stuff where people, you know, can't even go to the park at all. So it's a different approach to how everyone's dealing with this. Yeah.
I appreciate that. I think I want to piggyback off what you just said, that we've experienced a lot of the same things. We have our contractors that are our customers and not our customers. This last week we've been getting bombarded, not even with our own customers. We've done a really good job of managing our Rhino family members, our customers. It's those who are in panic mode and are thinking, oh my goodness, I'm slowing down. And they're reaching out to us and through different form, because there's so many different groups that we're a part of, that we're sharing information and data as they come through. And I'm been sharing that. There's still search volume in our world. Our job is to bring in new customers for home service companies. That's it. That's our only job, through digital marketing. Thankfully, there's so many great metrics around that we can see what the actual homeowner is doing. Now I'm talking more from the add-on replacement service side of things versus RNC or new construction, but there's still a consistent volume coming through. And in some markets, it's actually even going up. So we took some screenshots and started posting them in the forums to give these guys hope that it's there. You just now need to pivot and get a little more creative on how you're doing things. And this is why I was saying earlier that we've really seen the industry leaders come together and start posting videos on things that they're doing and giving like tactical takeaways, like boxes that these guys can check, whether you're a, you know, one guy or, you know, 200 people, whatever it is. We're seeing them come together, try new things, and then share it, which, you know, and I know, before this, these guys are competitive, man. Not many of them are really wanting to share all their tips and, you know, tricks or, you know, wisdom and knowledge or whatever you want to call it. But today, those things are happening more and more. And it's been no different for us, as it's we keep trying to post things. I mean, we're even pulling results from our customers, sharing them, so that way these people can see, like, we're not just a marketing company trying to sell you. I'm actually doing exactly the opposite of that. I'm trying to give and say, hey, pump the brakes, figure out what you need to do before you start making irrational decisions. But here's some good data to know what's going on in your market. Here's how people are acting. We're searching last week when everything broke, like went crazy. So we're in it from a different capacity. Like we're trying to keep these guys busy. It's just, you know, I take it as an absolute blessing and I do not think it's a mistake because we're a business built on the back of servanthood. And we take it as a way to say, it's not a mistake that we are in the position that we're in today. We've never been more prepared to help our industry than we are today as a company. And we have now this podcast tool that I did not want to do last year. You know, I got pushed and pushed and pushed, and now we're doing it, and the downloads have been huge, the streams have been huge, the feedback's been great. We've had some great people coming on here and share their stuff. But it's all to do the same thing that you're doing, Bart, is to support our industry as best as we can and lead from the front with the tools that we have.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
So, Paul, if hopefully your audio is working good now, man, I'll let you kind of chime back in and run with it, buddy.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously there's now a before Corona and after Corona that will kind of bookmark this time in history. But before Corona, give me a description. Tell me about the regulatory issues that we're facing in the industry that we can't forget about. We just can't move past.
Apologies. I've got a lawnmower outside running.
You know what?
That's perfect. He's busy chopping up fire ants here in northern Louisiana.
We're all in it together. So yeah, So pre-COVID, kind of the regulatory landscape, tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were working on workforce and trying to create a level playing field for, you know, the trades. That was where we were spending a lot of our time because whether people know it or not, you know, the four-year college really has an upper hand on the decision-making happening at the school, whether you're all the way back to kind of junior high. And some of it's not quite as bad as we think, as we've kind of dove into it, thinking of guidance counselors and all on them having a reward system. But that we've learned that isn't there, but it is, you know, there's a lot of pride at graduation of somebody going to an Ivy League school, not being highlighted that they're going in or may already be, depending how the state is set up. Texas is really one of the creative ones. And there's other ones out there, not to just single out Texas, but and the South, which I do have a bias, and my accent will probably come through despite my, you know, 20 plus years of being in D.C. But it's trying to level the playing field there. But we're also really looking at the transition in refrigerants, and I can get into that more. But if you're not following this, you should be. But you know, our industry has another big change that's coming our way, and it's already happening. But it's a transition on the current refrigerants that folks are using to what we are commonly referring to as slightly flammable or A2Ls. But there'll be another transition that'll happen after that. And there's folks on both sides of the aisle of this issue, but our goal every day when we go to work is, you know, is to put contractors first. We have a lot of corporate partners that we're grateful for. We refer to as partners in excellence, but you know, those help us make sure those events and things like that happen and really underwrite those. But we're here for contractors, and we're trying to find answers to that. And there are a lot of questions that are unanswered on that front with the transition of these flammable refrigerants, and where the contractor and their employees are first and foremost, and we're, you know, protecting them. Because there's a lot of unanswered. So workforce and the refrigerants were the two, the ones that we were really working on the workforce, but really we're trying to create that level playing field. Apprenticeships, we've had in the HVAC side, really a disadvantage compared to the plumbers. So trying to, and the electrical. So trying to create that and use some of the online resources that are out there. And now, you know, as we've, you know, our world's transitioned, you know, the stuff you guys are doing that we have out there, you know, this is a time for people to really kind of double down on that and make sure they are as competitive as possible when our, you know, economy jumps right back up. And what I've seen is the people that are already doing that, especially on, you know, air safety and really a focus on quality installation, man, they're hitting it out of the park right now for the ones that are, can still do the new projects, or they're the go-to. Our members, so just to talk about ACCA's members and that mix of what we're seeing in our forum, which we've got 7,500 participants on one of those, a little over 7,500 participants on that forum. And a lot of people look and don't jump in, but we've had more and more people jump in and look for help, and then people responding. And then we obviously, you know, try to jump in where we can, the staff as well. But they're looking for peer-to-peer advice. We already have a mixed group program that, if you're not familiar with, I'd love to talk about some other day. But it's, we're seeing that in a whole new level happening right now. And I think what you hit on is spot on, and people wanting to help. And you know, we're all in this together trying to navigate our way through this.
I made a post this morning. I was on a call with had a call with a really, really big customer of ours, who was panicking because of something different. And it was about big box retail. With big box retail slowing down, and I mean, all that happening, if you leaned on big box retail as a crutch for new business, you're in trouble. And it's something I have preached for years to not only our own customers, but any keynotes I've ever done, any breakouts I've ever done, is to not lean so heavily on that. And a lot of people would say it's because, you know, they're really good at servicing the customer. They move a lot of equipment. They're not going to lose that relationship, but nobody expected the coronavirus. And so this is just a scenario where it's like, you know, another piece of the puzzle that we have to figure out is, you know, how did we, you know, what are they going to do next? So I posted a video this morning saying, this is actually a really good wake up call. Now, I hope it's not so bad that it put, you know, that it takes you out, because there is alternatives that you can do to lift yourself back up. And there are demands, like, thankfully we're in a demand service. So demand service still demands service, and you can still get it. And people are still searching online, and more people are doing it because there's more people home more frequently. So, but the people who have relied so heavily on big box retail, you know, are some of them in big trouble. And I had a heartbreaking call, and listen, man, I care. Like, I'd say that's our number one marketing strategy here is we care. And when I get those phone calls, it's brutal to hear that they're going through that. But now it's like, it hurts. Let's pivot and let's move on. So nobody's exempt from this thing. Everybody's in it together. But the worst thing you can do is nothing. You got to do something. You got to pivot and try new things. So I want you to piggyback on what you said, Bart, is I 100% believe this. We come out of this thing significantly better. Significantly better as not only human beings, but as business owners.
I think that's a great lens, and I hope you're right, and I believe that as well. So let's hope everyone's on the same page, and that's where we are. But exactly. And don't look at any retirement you have right now. If someone tells you to send you one of those statements, just throw it in the mail.
Don't look at it. Do not look at it.
So, Bart, you have over 4,000 contractor members. Is that right, in ACCA today?
It is. That's right. But more importantly than the number, which we're grateful for all those. And not all those are contractor members. We have another category called associate members. But from our members, the contractors themselves, our members are doing more than half the work in the U.S.
That's amazing.
I can get into the numbers of that. We're blessed to have 3 members of Congress that are ACCA members. We have more than any other profession other than lawyers that are HVAC contractors. That's pretty cool.
That's great. I didn't know that. That's fantastic.
It is. And one of them's active and younger. They've kind of transitioned the business since he's been in Congress. We apparently played baseball together. He's actually younger than me, but he's from Oklahoma. But, his chief's a friend that we used to work for, my wife. And, D.C.'s a small world. But we also have the governor of Tennessee. He's in our mixed group program. And, his company is one of those sizable operations. But we're blessed to have some great members, but they're doing the work, and every one of them does it a little bit different in terms of their ties into the different manufacturers and distributors. And again, all of them are unique, and that's why there's so many opportunities for them to learn and pivot and do things different. And that's what makes them stronger.
And so talk to me about the local involvement of ACCA. So I know that, contractor members can use the forum and they've got peer groups. What's it look like on the local level?
That's a complicated, you've asked a really tough question.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
Let me run at that the best I can, but
sure.
I'm a firm believer you're stronger together.
Yep.
And so there was brilliance years ago to pull everyone under this federated structure. There's a mix of associations out there that have that. And, our friends at PHCC, I think, do a good job with that. They have a long history on the plumbing side of having that happen. And so there was some wisdom that we at ACCA had tried to replicate there. And it didn't last long. There were decisions made to break up with that. And I'm not sure it's right to have a federated structure, but I do want to work with anyone and everyone that wants to work with us. So right now we've got 17 states that we refer to as allied contracting organizations. And some of those states have even a more complicated structure where there may be a state association. Then they have multiple other areas like Texas. They've got a great chapter, and chapter doesn't even do it justice, in San Antonio, Texas. And then up in the kind of greater Dallas area, they've got another one, but they're at the state level. They just got a new executive director, DeVora, but TAC is the group, and Todd McAllister ran that before they hired their new executive director. But, our goal is to work with them and to partner together. We know that they're the experts on what's happening locally. We also are aware that we'd like to have 100% crossover members. We're not there yet. Texas is one of those great examples where only a third of our members are TACA members and vice versa. So we still have a lot of potential to do more together. Then you have all those states where there's nothing there. My father-in-law was talking about here in Louisiana, and there used to be the Heat Pump Association, and it's not what he had seen it as before. So he's, my father-in-law is also one of those members that, unfortunately a lot of our folks fall into the category of, which we're grateful for. We appreciate their dues. When I came to work at ACC, I looked and he'd been a member for, well over a decade, and he'd never signed in his account. same for my brother-in-law. And, I'm 40, and I get, every year it gets more difficult to remember my age, but I think I'm 44. But it's, my brother-in-law is a fair bit younger than I am, and he's right in our sweet spot of where we need people in that age, and he isn't there. So we've got a lot to do to get people more involved. Thankfully, we have a lot that are, but those people that still support us are really important. So if you're questioning whether or not to support a trade association, if you're part of this industry of heating and air conditioning, refrigeration, and again, we cross over in a lot of other stuff, but and we see that with our members. So many of them are involved. HVAC is usually where they started, and they've expanded into the plumbing and electrical because of that trust factor they have with their customer. But We'd like to have your support no matter what, because these fights and things that we're doing, whether it's right now, making sure you're essential and helping you navigate your way through the, you know, if you're needing some lending, and also the regulations coming out about employees, just deciphering that for you and giving you, you know, accurate information. And we don't know it. We get the right people on the horn to help us get the answers to those questions we're all looking for. But I mean, that's what we're here for, and that Stronger Together means that. But man, that's a long-winded way to say that we're not where we want to be with the states. I would love for us all to be, you know, together on this. I just, before, actually, when all this was going on, I just was in Ohio for their state convention. They're a neat setup. They're actually still have their plumbing separate. They have their HVAC separate, but they have the same guy, Rocco Fannin, running both of them. And, you know, I enjoyed being there for their business meeting and getting to speak. And I've got a board member there in Ohio. Ohio happens to be one of our top member states. And there's a bit of competitiveness with some of the others there. So they've got a lot of pride, and we want that everywhere. We're not as strong as what we should be in a lot of states and the areas, you know, on the local front, but you know, we jump in Virginia. We had an issue that was brought to our attention there in my backyard. One of our municipalities, they were, you know, just late last year, they were going to stop people being able to take home their service vehicles. So if you've got a, you know, I'll pick a board member of ours who's actually who brought it to our attention, Dave Kyle with Trade Masters in the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know D.C., the commutes are horrible. My wife's drive is an hour for her to go 6 miles to get to down to town to K Street. And that's what it looks like. So you having your guys or, you know, your members of your team that are, have that vehicle there, but they were going to shut that down because most of us don't have driveways. We're parking on public streets, and they didn't.
The
brilliance of stopping that from happening. And, you know, that you're going to add, you know, another hour plus, well, I guess two, because you have to multiply it to come in to pick up your vehicle, just didn't make sense to us. And we explained that and talking about the importance of that to, you know, the communities and the service and all that comes along with it. And, you know, we had, just in a short period of time, we had over 3,000 people weigh in, and that just stopped, came to a screeching halt. And they also understood how important HVAC is, too. There's a reason you keep those vehicles close, is that's where someone can come and service you. The people that you're counting on that are the good contractors.
Yeah, don't you think that would have just had made all the contractors have to increase their price because the expense and overhead was going to go up?
Everything that we do has an increased cost of price. I mean, it all gets, you know, someone's got to figure out how to swallow it for a little bit, but it's eventually going to get passed on to somebody.
Right.
So, I mean, when we get back to those refrigerants and, you know, the answers that we don't have on that yet on the, so right now, so if we're switching to flammable refrigerants, what does that mean for our members in terms of storage? We don't know yet whether or not all the companies are going to dry ship their equipment. We don't know whether or not the distributors are going to carry refrigerant anymore, because their storage requirements will very likely be different, and they may not want to have to transition or change out their warehouses to accommodate a flammable refrigerant in that quantity being stored there. And same for the transportation. And then you get into the gauges and this and that and all that. But those are answers that all have cost to them. I mean, we did the rough math of my current board chairman up in Rochester, New York. They're a sizable company, and for all their vans, we're talking, you know, that's a $150,000+ hit, not to mention the lost time of pulling those vehicles out of service. Everything has a cost, and that's ultimately going to come back to the consumer. So we try to work as best we can with the manufacturers and the distributors and their associations to come to answers that we can all agree on. Where we can and where we're not, we make sure they understand the lens of the contractor.
Yeah, and that's really the point that I wanted our listeners to know, is that, you know, from a local level, they've got representation in Washington who gets these things done. And I think that's the real value of belonging to a group like ACCA. I think that's really valuable. Chris, go ahead. You were going to say
something. Really, we're just scratching the surface on the things that you're doing and doing recently. Like, there's, and you're fighting for the industry as a whole, member or non-member, doesn't matter. You're fighting for the industry.
It is. When we talk about, and thank you for pointing out, it's a great point, whether you're a dues-paying member to to our trade association or not, we're still fighting out. And when I talk to Congress, you know, and other members of our team, we're sharing the same thing. You know, we may not have them paying right now. That's on us to change that. But we're still representing you. And, you know, if you don't think we're doing the job that you'd like for us to, get involved.
Yep.
We've got a ton of committees. We streamlined that a lot more than what we had, but we've got great places to be involved, whether in code work. Man, that's something, it's just crazy. We do an awesome job at. We're the only group that's there for HVAC contractors on the code front. We have an expert, David Bigsby, that does a fantastic job. But more importantly, we've got the volunteer leaders that have involved. And I can think of the ones that we have. John Sedin, that had actually been a board chairman of ACCA, this guy's passionate and gets this and just rolled up his sleeves year after year to be there and fight for contractors on the codes. And the reason the codes are so important is, assuming your business, you're interested in doing the right thing. You want to follow the law. You may not always agree with it, but the guy that's not doing that, it's not paying insurance, not paying all the workers' comp, not doing all those things, that's who you're competing against. And we don't need a race to the bottom. The work you're doing is too important for that. And then you have silly states like California, not to pick on California. You know, there's so many, just the irony that comes out of that state. They're right now on the front edge, the tip of the spear, leading the charge on the transition of these refrigerants. So us getting rid of our, you know, 22s and 410s and all that's being phased out, you know, a 99.5% reduction and importation and all that, that's going to, you know, be pushed on us here very soon. And California's leading the charge on it. Believe it or not, they require a permit to be pulled for every sale of equipment. And only, well, I'm being very generous, less than 10% have a permit pulled. So they actually have no interest in how it's actually installed. And we already know from our work, we'd gotten EPA and National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, to do that. Only half the installations in the country are done to the manufacturer's minimum requirements, leaving 40% of the energy efficiency out there in the box. So we've got plenty of room in our industry to do a better job, to do justice to the, you know, great equipment that the manufacturers are making to lower their warranty cost. Would you believe only 17 states in the country even have a license requirement to be a contractor, and more of those is a tax than it is actual, you know, a test on your competency. So,
yeah.
So us creating that level playing field so the good guys aren't, you know, in competition with the people that are looking to cut corners and stick it to the consumer.
Right.
That's what we, you know, that's what we did an HVAC 101 for Congress, and that member from Oklahoma, Congressman Mark Wayne Mullen, that's been very vocal on the refrigerant issues. He's got some very strong opinions about that. If you want to hear a contractor's view, you know, just weigh in on him and some of the testimony that he's done on that. He actually testified on behalf of, you know, kind of himself and the lens on that. But it's he does a great job, I think, of talking about that race and the folks that aren't playing fair. It's interesting to see. It's nice to know we have that lens of people out there that get it from a contractor standpoint. But we did a HVAC 101 for Congress. It's been a couple of years, but I aspire, and this is a stronger together. We need to take that on the road. I want to do that every state and every state capital and take it out. You know, consumers need to know and understand it really matters. Not to preach the contractor kind of message, but it's a whole lot more important of who you hire than what you put in.
Amen. So tell me,
and if you want that equipment to last and to work the way it's supposed to, hire a good contractor. And that's absolutely who our members are. And if they're not quite there yet, they're surrounding themselves with people to learn from. I know my mom told that to me as a kid, and she and my grandparents made a big investment to, you know, hopefully surround myself, and hopefully my wife and I are doing that with our kids. But, you know, surround yourself with the people you want to be like and can learn from, not the people you just, you know, run away from. And that's what ACCA is.
You're absolutely right. And the whole concept of just stronger together kind of raises the bar for the entire industry. And that's why we so encourage our listeners and you know, partners and customers to be involved in something like this. On Capitol Hill, you know, there's wins and losses daily, right? This is me trying to get a behind the scenes view for our listeners. tell me about some big wins, or, you know, tell me about a situation where you turned the table and really saved the industry or contractors from something that they didn't even know was coming. If you can recall an instance like that.
Oh gosh. Yes. I mean, these are ones that, you know, despite my, a lot of gray hair, and sometimes those are from the losses, but they're from the wins too, because nothing in DC really, you know, we're seeing a little bit now, and they still can't get past, you know, partisan politics and other stuff. And we're even right now, we're trying to, you know, get support out to, you know, the states and all of us, but it's a long game. It truly is a long game, and it's about relationships. And so, you know, our members, the power that we have is the relevance that we have is, you know, why we've had success of making sure they're essential, and we're still looking to do more, especially when it comes to the to new projects and construction out there. Those aren't shut down, and we believe that, you know, an important part of ramping up the economy, and it should be right now, any stimulus, is those jobs that have been put on hold. I can think of, you know, they've thrown in the towel in, you know, in Virginia to close the schools for the rest of the year. There's a, you know, contractor at my kid's school every day to do work there. So now's the time to actually fix that and do things right to do that. And they probably had some money set aside for it. And if not, this is the time to do it. But those wins and losses on Capitol Hill are really slow of how they unfold. But, you know, one of them that I'm really proud of, and we didn't do this alone, you know, where we can, we try to find partners to work with that, you know, that can help us. But confined spaces. For a residential contractor, you would have had to have put, you know, you would have had to bought special testing equipment. And if your folks out in the field were going into an attic or a crawl space, you needed two people on that job. Imagine what that looks like and the cost that would have been passed on to the consumer. So, you know, that's where a contractor needs to be proud and understand that and say, you know, share that with your customers and say that, well, I'm proud that I, you know, saved you this, because otherwise that would have been, you know, this much more for this job, just for me to come out and look at that. Silica rule is one of those too. If you're working, you didn't have to buy expensive testing equipment and all. So that's cutting through anything that had, you know, silica material in it. We've had some more immediate ones, you know, in terms of, you know, right now we're working on federal preemption. We're wanting to make sure that the states don't do the refrigerant transition state by state. You know, for that's just, that's not the right way to do things. And I'm all about state rights. I'm wired that way, but this isn't the place to do that. We need to make sure that we're all singing from the same hymnal in terms of the work that we're doing, the transition expectation that contractors have of where and certain deadlines that are transitioning. It's already going to be complicated enough that, you know, we've already lost the tanks being different colored, and now we've got more refrigerant out there. We had EPA at our office just a few weeks back, actually, well, I guess now it's been longer than that, before a group, a kind of a listening session that we did, where we were sharing about some of the challenges that contractors are facing with refrigerants, and the, you know, how many times they're fixing someone else's work that's wrong and someone put the wrong refrigerant in. So we don't have all the answers to that front, but it's about to get a lot more complicated. So that's one right now that us having that voice and that lens that, you know, when we do this transition, we need to do it in a way that makes sense, and we're not opening the door for states to, you know, have a political view, whether it's tied to climate change or others, where they're forcing stuff down our hands and pushing contractors in a place where they could be held liable. You know, we're trying to, we believe smart businesses to really lower your risk. And that's where, you know, the safety and the other things that we work on with our members is to really help them on that front. I know that was a long lobbyist way of spinning. The DC is dysfunctional. Don't get any misconceptions from that, but it really is about relationships. So that's our job, is to have those and leverage them. And, you know, for me to know that, you know, earlier this year, I like to hunt and fish. That's kind of my golf. And, you know, I was out with Senator Inhofe in Oklahoma dove hunting with him. And we're able to do that because, you know, first of all, I know it's important. And for him to understand that, I've worked with him for years when I was with another group, Ducks Unlimited. But, you know, for him to understand the importance of contractors, and I had a couple of our members there. Actually, I had a couple of the manufacturers I'd brought on that trip too, but to understand the importance of this industry and to be front and center. And you know, everyone appreciates air conditioning, but they also appreciate heat, and us to remind that and be in the relationship game so we're relevant and people understand or working in the direction we need them to go, not making decisions to take the employer and these businesses out of the driver's seat.
Perfect. Perfect. And this question, and I know we're getting close on time here. This can be a little out of left field. I mean, obviously there are a lot of moving parts with mechanical contracting and refrigeration, right? There's a lot of different things that go into it. But indoor air quality is a component of this business, and it's a big topic of conversation right now. Are we going to see a breakthrough in indoor air quality at the forefront of conversations with contractors and consumers, or do you think we will continue to be underwhelmed by what's going on in the industry with advanced IAQ stuff?
Ooh, good one.
No, it truly is. You know, you would hope what's happening right now in our country will create relevance of that, but we've just skipped over air quality for so long. We, you know, I hit on the installations of how many of those are done incorrectly. And the rule of thumb for the ones that are done incorrectly is the system's twice the size as it needs to be. The ductwork is half the size it needs to be. So we know what that's doing from air quality, from mold, from other things. So we've been glossing over this, but some people have really done a good job. I mentioned, you know, one of my board members in DC that it's just, you know, he's really focused on his commitment to quality work and being a resource on that. I think you'll see more consumers have that that interest, and I think it'd be really, really smart for contractors to make a run at that and separate themselves. We have Energy Star verified installations. This is a program that we had helped worked with EPA to create, but it's recognizing contractors. We've got just shy of, you know, 800 contractors in that program. There's so much room for growth there. And you know, there's some great products out there, but if they're not being installed correctly, it's not doing anyone any good. So I'd like to see it. If I were not working for contractors, if I actually was one, I'd be in that program. I would check it out. I would market the heck out of, you know, the skills I had and how many of our members are, you know, how many of, you know, my employees are trained. And speaking of the training part, that's something, you know, again, go to our website and check out those resources that are there. I know you guys have a lot of ones, but be a market separator and to do that right now. But only a third of our members, and this is according to our friends over at AHRI, so they run NAIT, I think the certification that most people are very familiar with. But so ACCA's members are doing more than half the work in the U.S., and only a third of our members have anyone on their team that are NAIT certified. So, you know, that program we'd supported, we actually helped create it. It was us and PHCC that rolled together our programs, and then HRI took that over. It's not working. You know, it's not, it doesn't have the recognition for the consumer that we need. So I think it's really up to the contractor and using tools like their EPA and some of the programs to really separate yourself in the marketplace to do that. But I think the indoor air quality stuff is one that it already should resonate if you were weaving that in and it's working well for people. But after all this, when we get past what we're dealing with as a country, man, it seems like just a home run.
Perfect. Now you mentioned the EPA. If you could just rattle off the agencies that you're interfacing with on behalf of your member base now.
Oh, that's not a long one. Because yesterday I just had to file my, you know, despite our world change, I had to file my lobbying report. So we have to, as a recognized lobbyist, I have to report my campaign contributions. So that PAC, that Political Action Committee, we've invested almost $500,000 in making sure elected officials, you know, whether you believe it or not, we can't put our head in the sand. This is the way our system works. So we've invested, we have the largest PAC in our entire industry. We've invested that in making sure and getting those contractors. We were there when every one of those ones that we talked about earlier ran for office, we were there backing them. But the agencies that we work with on a regular basis, well, right now it's changed a lot. We've got SBA, we've got Department of Labor. We had Secretary Acosta, now former Secretary Acosta, just speak with us last year. We're going to have Congressman Randy Weber was going to be with us there in St. Louis. That's one of our member contractors. But on a daily basis, it's SBA, it's Department of Labor, it's the White House. A lot of stuff is Council on Environmental Quality. It's someone that most people don't even have on their radar screen. And now I've moved over into Homeland Security with all the stuff happening with essential partners or essential recognition for contractors there. But those are the main ones that we're with on a regular basis. And of course, Department of Energy. We've got a great relationship. That was going to be another one of the speakers we had in St. Louis. So Daniel Simmons, Daniel's Assistant Secretary, Department of Labor. He was with us last year at our conference. He's become a friend of mine, and he's who I get a call from when his system breaks and want to know what contract to hire. So that means we've done our job on educating, because he's not just flipping through the yellow book. He was going to be with us, but those are the ones on a regular basis. We're crossing over more and more, but that's our kind of bread and butter. And it's our job to know those people and know the names of their kids and know what makes them tick and help them understand the importance of the contractors.
And that's really, really important work that you're doing on behalf of the industry. So as people who are involved in this industry and working a lot right now, we just personally want to thank you for the work that you're doing for our clients.
Yep.
Thank you.
If I could hit on that.
Sure.
While you're talking to companies out there, and we talked about quite a few of the manufacturers support ACCA, and we're grateful for the financial support, but also the plugs like you just did, and the recognition. And there's, I think, so many more opportunities to do that. But I would love for you, and if you know a company that's not, we have there's a lot of places for people to be more involved in ACCA. So if you see those companies and you're doing business with one of them, if you're listening as a contractor and you see, and we highlight our partners on our website, if you see someone's not, ask them why they're not and encourage them to be, because I can assure you, when we're restoring the geothermal tax credit that expired and you're in that space, and I'm up lobbying on that part and explaining to members and help them understand that, when they had geothermal in their house that they didn't even know they had it, that why that was important and how that was a tax decision being made. That stuff doesn't happen without those supporters. So we've got a lot of room for growth in that area. And again, please, if you're an ACCA member or you're not, just look to see who's supporting the industry. And if they're not, ask them why they're not. Sorry for my
no.
Down that road and soapbox, but it drives me crazy that we have so many people that hold us up, but they're not really there when you look for them, but they're very grateful for the work we do.
Yeah, and I think that again, we're just scratching the surface on really what all ACCA has to offer. Like, even in this short time, I've learned so much about the behind the scenes. I knew Paul was going to go more down the EPA type of thing, and trying to understand more behind the scenes. That's kind of his deal, likes that kind of stuff. But I think it's important to, I think it's easy for the contractors to not know all those things that you're actually fighting for them. And that's important. So it almost reminds me of back in the day when I worked for my very first corporate job ever was I worked for a Yellow Page company. I'm talking back in the day. And it sounds weird to say that, but they were a union. And it almost was like the union would fight for the employers, even whether you remember, with the employees, whether you remember or not. So, and that's how you disappear from coronavirus on the podcast. But it reminds me of being, with the union back in the day of, and me being part of that, is I would still fight for the employees and the different, part of the employment agreements. And I would fight for all those things, whether you were a member or not. But this is on a much grander scale, is that if you're in the industry, in the mechanical business, you're fighting for them, whether they're in it or not. So I think that shows the utmost integrity of an organization. And again, because it impacts me and my employees and my customers, I thank you, man. Like I am as much of a fan, if not even more of a fan of ACCA than I have been. We've always been a fan of it, and we've talked about it with our customers, and we feature it on all of our customers' sites. You're part of ACCA. It's a big thing. We think it lends great credibility. But I'm interested, you know, at some point, you know, for us to further our, you know, our relationship and our friendship, Bart, and start to even understand more on things that we can share that you guys are doing. Because again, you just scratched the surface on probably all the things that you could have told us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And you know, us having people that are like my father-in-law, that I would love to have everyone know and do that. But I know people aren't wired that way. And, you know, some people sometimes confuse, and I struggle with that personally myself. But, you know, we have to support and suck up to and educate and lobby and all the things of people that I don't always agree with, but that's part of the game and how stuff works. So, you know, there's a lot of that work, and I get that, you know, politics is kind of nasty, and I don't want to make this all about kind of the political side. Obviously I come from that world, and, you know, as a political operative, that's where I've spent the better part of my life on doing that and working, you know, campaigns and being part of groups that are, you know, working on some really tough issues. And, but I get that they're not everyone's wired that way, but man, there's a lot of stuff that goes into all the pieces that happen. And, you know, the four of us that are our lobbyists are just a small part of the team behind the members and the groups to make sure this industry is all that is and can be profitable. But it's so relevant, and it's going to bounce back. And, you know, that demand for workforce, we're going to be back there before we know it. So us figuring those ways to better this industry are important, and there's lots of ways to do it.
Absolutely. And I want to close with this. And you mentioned it a couple times, but I would just want to be super clear for our listeners. I 100% believe from this podcast, we'll have some that aren't ACCA members that are want to know more information. You guys have a great training program, even though we've talked about a lot about the political things. Like, there are so many supportive pieces to being a member of ACCA, and so many things that you can take advantage of. What is the best way? I know that you can go to ACCA.org, ACCA.org. What is the best way, if I'm a contractor, I listen to this podcast and I want to start to figure out, you know, what I'm more about this ACCA thing in my state, what's the best way for these guys to get that kind of information and go down that path, Bart?
Well, again, we're the national. So if you're involved in the state, all the things I've talked about, they may be somewhat involved, but they're not there doing what we talked about. So there's still that confusion that we have from that brief period of time that we were a federated structure.
Right.
But I mean, you can pick up the phone and call us, which right now it's being routed to many of our cell phones and all, but, and then you can email. I mean, our main email, and I'm happy to give mine too, but it's just membership at acca.org and ask away and get involved. And, you know, this is, when you have a price point, it doesn't matter the size of your company. It's $575 a year to be a member of ACCA.
Cheap. So yeah. Cheap, inexpensive.
It is. And we even do monthly, and, you know, for people right now that are, you know, having some financial issues or know this is coming, we're even working with them to accommodate that, because we know, and oddly enough, our membership, when you look at our history, the spikes that we've seen in membership actually happen, and we're actually already starting to see some of that right now of when times are tough.
Yep, right now.
And the reason they are is because they're looking for ways to separate themselves in the marketplace, and that's what we are. But I don't want to, you know, there's plenty of stuff we do on your behalf, but a lot of ACCA is about, you know, kind of what you do for yourself too. You know, getting to rub elbows with the best people is only as good if you're there to rub elbows. So if you're not coming to the events, and I know that's going to change for a little while, we'll be in New Orleans in 2021. And our fall meetings, we're still trying to figure that out, how we're going to navigate our way around that. We were in Dayton, Ohio this past year, but we're trying to figure that around, because this is rolling out a lot longer. It's taking a lot longer than what any of us probably thought with this, but yeah, it's just emailing and calling, and be involved. And once you get there, ask away. We do a great introductory kind of walkthrough of membership, and we can do that with your team. But the other thing I would say on that is your membership in ACCA is not just for you, the business owner, it's for your entire team. We have stuff. We've got three of our members are lawyers. We spend a lot of time helping people, and then we have outside consultants that are also, you know, legal experts to help navigate those things that, you know, not everyone has their own HR person. So I'm blessed to have Hillary Atkins from our team and Brooke Duncan, our outside counsel, that helps people with those questions they can't, you know, they don't know the answer to themselves. And we got a lot of those right now because there's a lot of things rolling out right now that, you know, we don't know the answers to yet. So.
Well, again, I want to thank you, number one, for your time. I know you have a lot of things going on right now, like a lot of us do. So one, again, thank you for the time coming on here. What I heard you say too is, even if you become part of the group, you need to be active in the group too, because you can't, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but at some point you got to drink it yourself. Like, you got to actually do something with it. So, and that's something we preach in here, man, is don't just talk about it. You gotta be about it. So, because right now you have no choice. Like, the reason you're spiking now is because they're being reactionary. Like, let's learn a lesson from this. Let's be a little bit more proactive and get involved with these groups to make sure that if this ever happens again, maybe not the coronavirus, but if something ever happens again like this, where you're, you know, that your business needs help, that you're not being reactionary, you're ahead of the game. And that's exactly what ACCA is here for, is to be that for you, to be a leader in the industry, not only on Capitol Hill, but also in your hometown. So again, I appreciate you, Bart, very much. We'll go ahead and put some of that same information when we post the podcast as well, so those will make it easy to reach out to you.
Perfect.
Don't worry, guys. We'll go ahead and put Bart's cell phone on there so you can call him directly anytime.
Perfect. Love to have you call.
But again, we appreciate you, man. I know that's something that that this is the beginning of a really a good relationship for us. It's something that we've told some of the other members, you know, that we have relationships with, that we want to get more and more involved in. We feel like as a leader in the industry in our world, that we should be coming tighter with you guys and being more of an advocate for each other and for the community as a whole. So that's something that we'll be doing more of. And so I'm sure we'll have more conversations there. But again, thank you, listeners. I really hope you enjoyed this and you took away some good stuff from this. And again, Bart just scratched on all the value that ACCA has to offer. Like, I'm glad that he painted the picture of the behind the scenes stuff so you really understand what they're doing to fight for you that you didn't even know about.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Paul, for the chance to share some of that and hopefully not bore your members too much, but it's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to our relationship where we can take it. And again, thoughts and prayers out for everyone right now for what you're facing and tap into the resources of, you know, podcasts like this and things that are out there to help you and you know, you're not alone.
Absolutely. And thank you for restating that. So listeners, listen, be safe, stay clean, mind the rules. Okay. We got to get through this thing. So if you're on lockdown, stay on lockdown. Okay. if you're self-quarantined, stay self-quarantined. Okay. We got to get this thing under wraps so we can all laugh about this and move on. Certainly this is a crazy time of life, but together, we're all going to get through it. Until next time, see ya.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Point. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please consider leaving us a review in the App Store. And don't forget to share with your friends. Till next time, kick some ass.